What's cracking, everybody? This your man, King Al. And I got my co-host over here, Queen Missy Tina Turner Black. Welcome to the show, y'all. Hey, today we got a very special guest on today.
Yeah.
Today we have a mental health therapist on the phone, on the show. On the phone.
That's okay.
On the show. I'm so used to being on the phone. Yeah. Okay. Well, her name is Latasha Lyons. I don't know if she's related to Lucius Lyons or not, but when this lion roar, you better watch out, boy. But yeah, she's going to give us a little information about mental health. You know how some people are just like really misconceived by the title. They think that if you need to see a mental therapist, that there's something wrong with you. And she's here to make the clarity. You know, seeing a mental health therapist doesn't mean that something is wrong. It's not seeing one that means something is wrong. So
and
we want to say welcome,
but before we get started, we want to give everybody, let everybody know this is Mental Awareness Month. Because of the pandemic, and we want to just say the bereavement, once we get started on the show, we want to give all of our condolences out to anybody have lost a loved one or have through the pandemic, or even if it was just health conditions. We have been going through a lot this year and last year because of the pandemic. So we decided on this day to have a special person to open up with just some few questions about what it is to be, you know, to suffer with some of this, some of the disorders during this time of within this pandemic. So can you kind of collaborate on what's your title and what do you do?
Yes. First of all, thank you for having me. I am a mental health therapist that specializes in forensic population. That just means I can work in law-based settings, prison settings, courthouses. I work with a lot of various of people, whether they're have committed murders or whether you're going through grief and loss, any anger management, substance abuse issues. So it's pretty much a variety overall. I just want to say mental health is pretty much just our mental well-being when it comes to psychological and emotional components in life. And it's pretty much how we even cope with day-to-day stresses and stuff like that. So yeah.
Okay.
Wow. So you're telling me that, like, during this pandemic and the time of the pandemic, people, you can have a special traumatic disorder because they have lost some loved ones. And if they experience too much one after the other, could it be empathy? Could that be part of mental illness, empathy, where they just don't care anymore? You know, you'll tell them about somebody passed away or this year happened, and they're just looking at you because they have been through so much experience of in a role of trauma.
Well, I think the component that makes sense to layer back is it's a difference between having a mental health disorder versus having mental health issues, because I think we all have like mental health issues and stuff like that, because we all have problems, and if someone says they don't have a problem, that's a problem within itself.
Right.
We just don't deal with the same problems. So I think what is good is just to have like awareness, and I think in the pandemic, a lot of people weren't able to go out and do like their normal rituals and normal routines and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So when you put someone in an isolated situation, they're pent up. So you're going to see a lot of ways you're not able to get your stress out like as normal and stuff like that. So I think the importance of what we've seen a lot of things in the pandemic is like the drawback of when people aren't able to do a lot of self-care.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes a lot of sense because, go ahead, Al.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd like to invite any callers to call in. Feel free to call in to the show. The number is 708-510-4100. Again, the number is 708-510-4100. 510-4100. Seems like my co-host over there is experiencing a mental breakdown over there anyway. So, what I wanted to ask you, though, is, well, actually what I wanted to say is your field of expertise is very necessary during these days, especially with, like, all of the police shootings and stuff that's going on, because you are in a position to distinguish between what's criminal and what's clinical. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and like working within the penal system, do you see a lot of people that come in there that may be displaying signs of being mentally challenged and they're being charged just as a criminal and not receiving
the mental health?
Right, that they so desperately need. So, do you ever notice any you know, situations like that?
I see various things, even like in an African American culture, because of a lack of awareness and like some people, whether police officer, whatever, not having the background or the competency area to deal with that particular culture. It's kind of like every culture is different, right?
Right.
So they may be perceived as aggressive, but that's all they know. That's how they communicate.
That's kind of a culture, right?
Yeah, that's a culture. So if you take somebody that's not familiar with that culture, it is kind of sometimes viewed as a threat. Wow. So even like when you take police versus the African American culture, if they haven't necessarily been trained like within that culture, certain ways they talk or communicate may be perceived as hostile. You take an African American person and put them in another community that's not used to communicating with that particular culture as well, they may be a little bit more vocal or a little bit more authoritarian and stuff like that, where they move, or some people communicate with their hand gestures. Yeah. So I think it goes back to cultural competency, because if you have not been trained to work with that particular population, and if we're coming just from, it's our lens, how we view things, and our upbringing, because everybody come from different environments. So if you come from an environment where you're not used to seeing that, and it's a little bit more laid back, and it's not as diverse with how you communicate, then you come back contact with somebody that is from a different culture, it could be perceived as a threat. So I would even say, from a mental health standpoint, from police officers, you have them suffering from like a lot of PTSD as well. Right. Because even going into their various backgrounds, they're overworked.
Right.
So you take somebody that just got shot at as a police officer, or they go and they experience somebody looking at somebody dying, but then they have to go on to the next call.
True.
So when they end up going on to the next call, they're not able to process that trauma.
Just turn it off.
They're just turning it off. It's just going over to the next thing. And then, like, also, I think they're mandated to, when they experience a shooting or whatever, you go to counseling, you're mandated to do, like, 3 days of therapy. But, like, really, what police officer is necessary going to feel comfortable, because a lot of their records and what they say, maybe in therapy, could be subpoenaed in court.
Right.
So they become muted to a certain degree, or everything that they have worked hard for is in jeopardy. So I think it's kind of like we're going around treating the behaviors. And what's most important with any mental health, where you experience trouble, you got to figure out what's driving the behaviors. It's the root behind the behaviors, because for every root, whether it's like somebody was sexually molested or whatever, so they might be a little promiscuous, or they might be a little out there. So now you're seeing behaviors. So for every route, you may have 3-4 different behaviors. So even when you see the police officer and stuff like that, it's like putting band-aids on it, but we're not dealing with the real issue, which they need mental health help as well. Mm-hmm. But then it's also, whether the system is set up for African-American people, it's set up kind of messed up for police officers as well, because they're going on overwork, and they're not able to process the trauma. It's like, okay, well, going on to house number 10.
Right.
You know.
Wow.
They're never being fixed with pretty much what you're saying. They're not getting the counseling after the trauma. They're not getting the days off or whatever to meditate or to try to be counseled after the trauma have it endured.
Yeah, because they'll take, you know, a couple of days off, but mm-hmm. let's be real, are you really going to be feeling comfortable opening up when this stuff can be subpoenaed in court?
Right.
Right.
So maybe creating a safe place for them where it's not like that, or I think also maybe some people getting together, signing a subpoena, you know, like petition and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and making them have like some type of group therapy within their own peers where they have to do a couple of months, 4 months, and just having a safe zone where they can have their own support system, because it's kind of like when somebody's like at risk, let's be real, of losing everything they work hard for. Yeah. Are they willing to take that risk, even though they may get the help they need, or are they going to fall back and say, you know what, I'm not taking that risk?
Right,
that's true.
Double side of the coin, y'all. It's you yeah. know, you have to look at, I guess, in just reality, you have to look at all aspects of the events in an officer's life and the person who he's pursuing's life. So let's just take like the George Floyd case. The officer that was involved in that, you know, I don't know if he was experiencing some kind of mental breakdown while he was on the man's leg. Because
wow.
I think you have to be kind of mentally altered mm-hmm. to just put your knee on somebody's neck and just nonchalantly just stay there. Right. Was he experiencing a mental breakdown? It was clear that George Floyd was mentally going through something as well, because he was pretty much seeing seeing mm-hmm. the end of his life coming near.
Right.
So that's got to be a traumatic thing to deal with too.
That in between.
Yeah. So, you know, in both instances, mm-hmm. you know, of course, society is put out there to make a judgment call on who was right or who was wrong. But I just really think that it was a mental breakdown mm-hmm. on both parts.
Mm, you know? Okay. So, but the thing about it is, since you were saying that and just really looking back on it, it's really kind of hard, because you don't want to really, you know, even though it's there and it's going to be always there. But when you just mentioned what you mentioned, it gave me like a little video in my head of what you said, both of them on both sides of the fence was going through something. But how about the bystanders, which we're talking about the cops?
They was going through something.
The cops that was watching from afar, because they could have had intervened to try to stop it, knowing that maybe he had snapped, maybe something had went wrong in his head, and then okay.
Well, like Miss Lyons was saying, you know, she said after a person works for so much and they do the best that they can on their job, you don't want to jeopardize mm-hmm. your livelihood on a snap decision judgment call.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. And they do have something called the bystander thing. And as weird as it may sound, they say the more witnesses, the more likely somebody is to help, because yeah. they're waiting for somebody else to jump in and mm-hmm. help. I remember this young lady, she ended up getting hit by a Metro train. She dropped her phone on I don't know if you guys heard about
platform.
That, the platform, and she was trying to get back up.
Oh, down in, she dropped it on the tracks.
Yeah, she dropped it on the tracks, mm-hmm. and as she's trying to get back up, nobody reached a hand
wow.
to get back up, and a train came, and it collided, and she ended up dying. So they say sometimes when it's shock. More individuals there, mm-hmm. everybody somehow is thinking the next person may actually end up
helping. So you're
really
mentally in shock.
Well, right. it's just a bystander effect.
Wow.
It's like if you see somebody helping, somebody may assume that somebody else can jump in. So the more people there, the less likely someone is to help. But if it was like 2-3 people, somebody else will be more likely to lend a hand, because it kind of is falling back more on them. Yeah. Versus mm-hmm. the whatever's going on.
All right. Just want to give out a quick notable. We got Chris Benjamin, who's just chimed in. He's watching the show. How's it going, Chris Benjamin of Benjamin Gourmet Popcorn and, you know, sandwiches. So, hey, how's it going out there, Chris? You got anybody out there on your tab?
Yes, we have some advertisement supporters that really, you know, support our station, and we want everybody to do that. We have been like a year from the radio station. We call that our sister stations. We still love them, and we're going to probably be doing some work with them as well. That's the Fluent Radio. I guess I can mention them, can I?
Sure.
And then we have Smitty's Lounge right there on 151 01 on Halsted. Smitty's Lounge, where you can, they have the social distance, they have the vending machines, they have food, you can book mm-hmm. parties there. I like it. It's like a old country little back road place where you just go and just lay back. And it's older. It's an older crowd. And some young people come there because they feel safe. So you guys come and support Smitty Lounge because he supports us. We have the Pit Bully in the house because everybody, you know, everybody has a side two of them, or, you know, income-wise of how we try to make it. So Al is... he's the owner of Pit Bully Barbecue, and guess what? He has the I tell you, you know, I did the black person's relax after eating that barbecue.
She caught the itis.
I was, yeah, and so I said it was the Benadryl, but maybe it was the sandwich.
It was the turkey, right?
Yes.
My man Chuck Freeman, what's happening? That's my barber out there, Chuck. I'll be glad when you come get into another facility and get it cracking again, man, because I really miss being in a barbershop setting with guys. Have guys talking to barbershop, you know, that's part of the American culture. You know, we all got that one place where we can go. It's like Cheers. Sometimes you want to go
where everybody knows your name.
Chuck Freeman at Chuck's Barbershop, man, that was the spot right there.
Okay.
Yeah, so when Chuck, when you get the doors back open, you know we kicking them down and we getting up in there.
Okay, how about Teeny Tiny? She's having something.
Teeny Tiny Mama, yep. She's having her event right here at the... what's the name of it? The Garage Door?
Yes.
At 2044 163rd Street. Y'all remember where Adriana's is or was? The Signature Room. Was that the name? Signature Club? it's behind there. Like you have to go back. It's three levels of stores. So come on to the back. She's got an event that's jumping off on the 22nd from 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock.
Vendors
are more than welcome to get on board right now. You got the vendor information where they
we have the vendors information where anybody can hit us up on our page and we'll get back with you. I think she's $40 a table. It's only $2 just to come to the event. She's having different DJs and a comedian. So you guys hit us up on Facebook. But on today, we're going to go back to our topic, because this is mental awareness. And you know what? Mental awareness, we have a specialist that's here, but it comes in every form. You have relationship disorder. You have people that's...
You got a lot of stuff going on. But check it out, y'all. What we're going to do right now, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
And we'll be back.
We're going to get right back to you. Feel free to call in. You can call in anytime you want to. You can call in during the break, you can call in during the show. If you want to be anonymous, just don't mention your name or anything like that. I promise I won't look at the caller ID and get your name off of it. But feel free to call us, 708-510-4100. It's the Benadryl or the something that's kicking in because she lagging behind. I'm going to do it again. It's 708.
See, okay, I mean? Okay.
Now she's speeding up.
That's all right.
Erico, 708.
510-4100. See, we used to go through this all the time. He's my backup. So if I slip, he catch me when I fall. And you know what? I like that because that's what friends are for.
Everybody needs co-host. Somebody to have their back, right?
That's true.
All right, y'all. We're going to get right back with y'all.
Do you have sensitive skin? Don't worry. Do you suffer from eczema? I got you. Visit www.shopyourjazzy.com today. Each and every product is made with all 100% natural ingredients, minus the nuts and citrus additives. Most importantly, these products were made with sensitive skin types in mind. Get yours today by visiting www.shopyourjazzy.com. See you soon.
Yo, bro, what you about to do?
Man, about to go try to cop the his and hers Bentleys.
Oh, yeah?
First, I got to perfect these his and hers steak sandwiches. I ain't saying they better than Taurus. I'll let you say it. The bully is back. Bully boy, look at that.
Delicious. Nah, for real. Good.
From a bully to a bully, we getting it in. Pit bully, y'all. Like to welcome you back to the show after this, after that little brief intermission. Some people might say, man, it's too long. I miss y'all. I didn't want to be left without y'all. I understand you don't want to be away from me, but sometimes you got to cut me loose for a little while. You know what I'm saying?
Because that could be a disorder too.
That's
in a relationship,
the third
right?
person in my head talking. He needs to shut. But anyway, yeah, well, like I was saying, we got Miss Lyons here. She's a mental health therapist, and she is talking to us. She's talking to us today about dealing with mental issues. Dealing with mental issues don't mean that there's something wrong with you. It just means that you have stuff that's going on in your mental. And by this being Mental Health Month, I would like for her to explain to you the importance of receiving mental help. So would you like to elaborate a little on that?
Yes, thank you. I think it's important because we all go through different trials and tribulations that could possibly come from our childhood, different work environments, just, upbringing and life struggles in general and stuff like that. And what happens if we experience something that wasn't the best for us? Sometimes we don't realize how we could suppress a lot of those issues. It's kind of like, even if somebody's used to growing up kind of like in a dysfunctional environment, mm-hmm. and you may have violence all around you. So that dysfunction actually is functional to some individuals like that. Mm-hmm. So you go on in the world communicating in that way, and that may not necessarily end well. So it's about bringing some form of self-awareness. I think that's important. Even like some people may not have learned what it is to have a healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. So even getting the help to learn that, how to communicate effectively, how to break down and be okay being vulnerable is very important. It's just kind of like overall staying healthy with whatever you're dealing with, and it brings about a certain amount of self-awareness as well. Even important when it comes to stress management on a day-to-day basis. You have some people that work 14, 15 hours and they don't have like self-care. They're not having like a balance in life. Like some people working 15-hour jobs and they're only having a 20-minute lunch break. And not scheduling time, but over time, that will create issues or imbalance. So just knowing pretty much our limitations, because even when you work for a company and you're working 15, 16 hours, it's the level they want you to work at, and it's the level that we're capable of working at. So you have some people always trying to keep up with the company's level and not being able to be in tune and saying your body is saying, okay, every 2-3 hours, you probably need to take a 15-minute break. So self-care is an overall lifestyle balance. It's about being aware of what's healthiest for you, whether it's making sure you're getting your 3-4 breaks during work and is doing something outside of work that you love doing and stuff like that.
Right?
Yeah, vacations.
Or just basic time management.
Time management, taking walks, nature, whether it's, church and stuff like that. Having an overall balance will help you become more mentally healthy and stuff like that. And we all have issues. We just don't have the same issues. And it's never too late to start. It's kind of like, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And it all starts in the mind. I remember this story. I was people watching. I probably should find a better way to say people watching because they look like a creep, right? But it was in school one day, and I thought I would never see this before. I seen we had to draw something that was interesting outside nature, but it was downtown Chicago, and I seen this homeless person take the pennies out of his cup and dump them on the ground. And I would have never thought I would see a homeless person that didn't want pennies. He just wanted nickels and dollars. And I seen this lady with a business suit come up and put a nickel in her pocket. And I'm like, that's the terminology you think about, the glass half full versus glass half empty terminology. Mm-hmm. So it's like she seen the value of every little thing and change adds up. She seems like I'm 5 cents closer to a dime. I'm 95 cents closer to a dollar. So every little thing adds up to our ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. He didn't see the value of I'm 40 cents closer to this hamburger or whatever it is. So every little thing adds up to the ultimate goal. He wanted the immediate gratification.
Right away.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So even like with change, and that's why so change starts in the mind. And we have to be willing to put forth effort towards our change, because sometimes, even with God, we wait for God to smack us in the face with the miracle, right?
Okay.
And people want the miracle, but necessarily don't want to be part of the miracle. So it's like, if we want change, we got to be willing to put forth effort to get that change as well. So I think that's important.
Ms. Elias. Yeah. May I say something?
Yes.
You said you was a young girl when you saw the guy do that?
That was about 5 years ago.
That was 5 years ago. Well, yeah. I'm going to tell you about 30 years ago, this man did me like that, and he threw the money back at me. And I was like, you could have just waited and picked up the money and got the rest of the money, but he threw the money. I was in the north side of Chicago. I'm not going to forget. He was like, looked at it, and he threw, and I was like, he threw my money back at me. But anyway, go ahead.
No, but that is a, there's a lot of different aspects to what goes on in our minds. And what the majority deems as normal activity, the person who does something different is being evaluated. So I think none of us really have a moral compass that we should be in judgmental of a person's life or what they do, is because, for one, you don't know the circumstances that they've been through.
Yeah.
You know, and some people, it's a all day fight or all day struggle for them to just keep it together and keep the mental anguish, whatever is, suppressed. So sometimes you can't suppress it. And when it comes out, that's when the finger pointing starts. Oh, he's crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, she's crazy. Things just got too heavy for them to deal with.
A breaking point.
So they're right. So they're lashing out in a situation which we may say is uncomfortable for us as a watcher, but for them, it's therapeutic for them to get it off their chest.
Yeah.
Right, because too much pressure. They said the pipe will burst.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But how do you know, going back to you, how would you, what would you tell the audience something to watch out for? Is it just being kind all the time to someone, because you never know what they might be going through? And that's when we really started the show, because we started the show with people going through bereavement, because we always said it was a dressed up walk, but you never knew what they were going through, the hurt and pain that was down in their heart. So how would you say, what are some of the signs where to look for in a person where you should bag off of them? Tell us that.
I always say everybody's feet touch the same ground. Nobody's riding in on a white horse here,
Right.
So with that saying, they often say character is defined not how we treat people we like, but how we treat people we don't like.
Oh, wow.
Because it's easy to treat somebody that you like nice. It's easy to treat somebody with respect when they're giving respect. Mm-hmm. But how would you treat somebody when they're not giving it to you? Uh-huh. Would you pull back? So, yeah, character is often defined by how you treat people that you like and you, not necessarily you like, but how you treat people that you don't like.
A stranger.
Would you still maintain that integrity if somebody says something disrespectful to you?
Right.
Yeah. Would you still extend that niceness, that courteousness? Because that's like if you're standing in a grocery line and somebody just cuts you off and you've been standing 15 minutes and then they yell and scream at you. It cannot possibly be anything that you have done within the 5 seconds that you met them. So it's kind of taking a closer look that obviously that person has some form of whatever's going on. So I think for me personally, it's kind of like not taking stuff personable, mm-hmm. personal, okay. and kind of taking a step back to know that I just met this person 3 minutes ago and all I said was hi and they chewed my head off. Right. But it's easy to like get pulled in that. I call it like a power struggle sometimes.
Yeah.
So trying not to let somebody pull you out of your environment and suck you into theirs, mm-hmm. but knowing what you stand for regardless of how somebody's treating you, mm-hmm. is kind of like, what do you want to represent? You know, do yeah. you want people to treat? So I will also say, like, as far as for us with stress management, people may not like limitations, but it's okay for us to know our limitations, because what happens is when we go over our limitations, that's when you see a lot of problems created, you know, because mm-hmm. now we're starting to become overwhelmed and we're kind of become frustrated. So it's kind of like learning the signs and symptoms when our body or our brain is telling us, okay, this is a little bit too much,
right.
or I need a break. So oftentimes when we go over and beyond that, mm-hmm. that's when it sometimes doesn't end well for us.
Okay.
So,
like, I totally understand what you're saying. So, you know, sometimes you have to even look at society. In society, we deal with so many different aspects that we don't even recognize what we're dealing with. For example, let's say if you go to the store, let's use that, and you go to a cashier, and you wait in line, you see the cashier, and you be like, well, you know, right before you get there, you're like, listen, can you open up another line? Can you open up? And she yeah. deals with this, or he deals with this all day long, of somebody projecting a negative question towards them, but they still have to maintain a certain amount of professionalism where they say, well, I'm sorry, sir, we don't have anybody available right now, but I'll try to expedite things and get things going faster. When in his mind, he's probably thinking, if this bastard don't shut the hell up, I'm going to smack the shit. I'm going to smack fire out his ass, right?
Yeah.
So, but you have to be able to turn that voice off. So at some point when you off that clock, you've accumulated so much negativity from people just, you know, barking at you, and you're trying to keep an even keel. How do you say, what do you think is the best way for that person to deflect everything that they took in today before they bring it home?
You know what? That's why I say self-care is so important, because you have to have an outlet of releasing your stress. Mm-hmm. Whether you're releasing it, where you're venting to somebody, where you're turning on some music, whether you're journaling,
yeah.
whatever intervention works, because what ends up happening is if you have no way, you haven't released, let's say somebody is still angry on the way home, you know, then they're still mad, and then they just go to sleep on it. So yeah. what happens when you wake up? Now you still have the compact of that stress
wow.
added on to the next. So people, sometimes they do snap out or whatever the case may be, but sometimes it's things that add up to it. So it's kind of like even people that help, oftentimes we can't be of any help to anybody else if we're not helping and taking care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And the battle was internally. The battle was in our mind and stuff like that. So when you're dealing with stress, like 15 hours, it's kind of like at that point, like 3-4 hours, like if you're dealing with like hostile customers, sometimes you need to go take a 10 minute mm-hmm. to myself. Or maybe take a 5 minute. If they won't let you off the clock, step away and take a 5 minute break in the bathroom, because what's going to happen if we don't manage ourselves. It's not going to be a good end result for ourselves. So it's kind of like recognizing when something is becoming a bit much. So you might start becoming a little bit more irritable. We all human, agitated.
Right.
You might start vocal. So at that point when you're starting to feel that coming on, when you're starting to feel it abnormal, take a step back. Take a 10 or 15 minutes. So okay. That's what I mean. It's kind of like an overall. So you got 10 hours. You got to deal with that. You might have to take a couple of minutes every 2-3 hours when you're getting too much of it. Take a bathroom break. Take your 10 and a 15 minute break. That's what they're there for when you need it.
Right. Smoke a blunt.
Right. You know.
Whatever
it takes to self-meditate. Meditation, if that right there helps. So you know what? We've been going through the pandemic, and we talk about ourselves as adults, but do we talk about go through with the children? You know, the children, they suffer as some little mental difficulties, too, during the pandemic, and it's just stress overall, you know, with their kids, the peer pressure, with the...
No, I was speaking to my sister Annette.
Okay, peer pressure and other things that that they might be facing. So do you, what can you say to a parent to, you know, kind of like during this time that the kids been kind of trapped in the house from the pandemic, and only thing they're doing right now, they have the computers. They're not really being sociable. They're letting them go back to the schools now. And it might be some effects there in the school system as well. They do have social workers there, but what then should be done at home? What's the self-therapy for parents and their children?
I think the best recipe is kind of like having empathy and actually just checking in and listening to your kid, because sometimes people talk at people, not to them.
Okay.
So creating like maybe a safe place for them to feel comfortable to be able to tell you whatever's on their mind, and not saying, well, that's silly or that's ridiculous. Because sometimes it's about a just deal with it thing, not a let's see how we can create something to help you manage and deal with it.
Yeah.
And I think just being in tune with, if you see your child, something's off or something seems a little bit different. So just doing check-ins, because I think with any kid, they rather know you there than not there. So even if you're bothering them every couple of hours and they're like, please, especially teenagers, get out of my room. Mm-hmm. It's still, they still feel that presence. So even if they say they don't want to be bothered, it's the fact that if I know I need you, you'll be there as well. So letting them know that I am available, even if they say they don't want to be bothered, because kids grow up and they can always say, well, one thing I know about my parent, even though he or she was irritated, they were always there if I needed them.
Yeah. And it's funny you should say that, because I think with kids, sometimes kids don't need you to talk to them about what's going on in their lives. Sometimes kids just need you to listen to them tell you what's going on in their lives. You know, anybody can be a good talker, but it takes a special person to be a good listener.
Yeah.
So, you know, they will give you telltale signs. They will show and display, you know, symptoms of, I got something on my chest that I want to talk about. But you have to make it comfortable enough for them to be comfortable enough to come to you.
Okay.
So, you know.
There you have it. You know what? We're going to take a quick break.
And I don't want to take no break. Okay? I got some mental stuff that I need to work out in my life. Right now.
You know what? We're going to come back because we're going to talk about bipolar.
Bipolar?
And, we're going to talk about...
you found my damn pills.
And we're gonna talk about the favorite word.
Did you tell her that I was bipolar?
Yeah, we're gonna talk about the favorite word.
You and I.
Some things got to be. Ms. Lyon, you better say something about it, because it might be some underlying
things. That was between me and her. Okay.
That's okay. But check this out. We're gonna be talking about disorder.
I told you about the schizocomplex trauma in my identity. How about I didn't tell you nothing about the bipolarism.
Okay, but schizophrenic. We want her to touch on schizophrenic and bipolar, because everybody now uses this word bipolar, which is a mood swing. But we don't want you to touch on it now, because we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about, because everybody wanna call somebody that has a different opinion bipolar.
Hey, what I wanna know though is, if there a difference between, like, a lot of people, when they get older in life, they go through mood swings. Some people call it seasoning. Some people call it hot flashes. Some people do call it bipolar.
look, here it goes.
There it goes.
I'm not having my personal summers right now.
Personal
I'm really
summers,
good.
That's what personal, I was looking for.
Personal summers. I used to say going to the Bahamas. Like, oh, you
She's
know,
going
just let
the. Change.
So we'll be right back, you guys.
Yo, bro, what you about to do?
I'm about to go try to copy his and hers Bentleys.
Oh, yeah?
First, I got to perfect these his and hers steak sandwiches. I ain't saying they better than Taurus. I'll let you say it. The bully is back. Bully boy, look at that.
Delicious. Nah, for real. Good.
From a bully to a bully, we getting it in. Pit bully, y'all.
Do you have sensitive skin? Don't worry. Do you suffer from eczema? I got you. Visit www.shopyourjazzy.com today. Each and every product is made with all 100% natural ingredients, minus the nuts and citrus additives. Most importantly, these products were made with sensitive skin types in mind. Get yours today by visiting www.shopyourjazzy.com. See you soon.
All right. Well, listen here, y'all. After
welcome back.
Queen Missy Tina Turner Black just got through from putting all of her business out there on Facebook. That she under psychology care right now.
He's a lie. I didn't say that. I say I called the doctor about one thing and during the pandemic, when the first beginning of the pandemic, you guys.
It's all good.
And they were saying, they have a rebuttal. I mean, they have a speech that they ask you, you know, have you thought about any suicide? And I was like, ma'am, when the first time the pandemic, I say everybody's thinking about something like that. You know how many millions of people have died? So we're going to have some type of mental help. I mean, you know, in our brains, we're going to be experiencing something because someone have lost a loved one, a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, something during this pandemic.
Okay.
So, yes, they ask those questions, or when you're paying your bills, they ask you this here. Why are you late?
Somebody would ask me why am I late paying the bill.
Well, did you know it's a pandemic? So
I'd be like, you do know I know how to turn this shit on without y'all, right?
Some people will even go through suicides because they did not have enough money.
I've been having bootleg cable for the last 6 years now.
Look, or they have
turn
lost,
me off. I turn lost, it right back on.
They have lost their houses, their jobs. That right there can cause some mental illness itself. But we want to ask you, welcome back. Are we back?
Yeah, we're back. But right now, we got a call on the line.
Okay, welcome.
Hello, caller. How you doing today?
Hello.
What's happening with you?
May we ask your name?
Brenda Cox.
Welcome, Brenda.
How's it going, Brent?
What's your question, Brenda? What's your question, Brenda, may we ask?
Well, mm-hmm. And I was just saying, when I was a child, people didn't get diagnosed as being bipolar, schizophrenic, ADHD, and all that stuff.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's like, you know, that it's not new to me, but like if you had a relative or a neighbor that acted different, you just went along with it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So do
you might, you know, stigmatize them because they had something different about themselves.
You know what? And that's so funny for you to say that because, yeah, when we were growing up, we all had that friend that was a little different from us. And, you know, even though we noticed that there was a difference in their mental capacity, we eventually found a common ground for all of us to still get along and get that football game going or the basketball game going, you know. And
we had an uncle,
Right.
Yeah.
She can stigmatize them because of that. And I think, I'm not saying they medicate you now.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Well, some people, it's different types of mental illness that has to be treated up on the meds, and in some treatments it can, and I'm going to go back to her and let her finish, but some meds, I mean, some mental illness are treated during the counseling and go ahead.
It's pretty much a process. So I don't want anybody to think anything is wrong with medication, because depending on, it helps stabilize someone out. So you have mental health medication. You just think about it like for heart disease or a person going through cancer, there are various treatments that people have to go through to get better. Sure. That is the same thing with mental health, that some people have to take certain medications, but it's overall, it's the therapy component of it. Depending on how somebody's mood, whether they can stabilize out, they may need additional, a little bit more help than other. It's kind of like, even if somebody might need dialysis, so to speak, to be able to have a more productive life. So it's not necessarily, I think a lot of times the stigma came from people not being ashamed that they had something wrong, being ashamed that they, it was like shame that came with it, like, oh, I can't handle this, or people aren't going to accept me. So now letting them know that that is not abnormal to have a mental health. What ends up happening is there is, just like if you don't go to, is my mic okay?
Yes.
If you don't go to dialysis, the risk of things that's going to happen is you can be facing death, a lot of different things. So the people that need the medication because of the chemical imbalance in their head, it helps stabilize them to have a healthy, productive lifestyle. Everybody that has bipolar or everybody that has certain mental health disorders don't necessarily need medication to regulate. Right. Some can't, so it's levels to it. You got people that are seriously mentally ill that need medication to be able to stabilize and function. And everything is not a mental health disorder either. Mm-hmm. So you'll have somebody where people say, oh, they bipolar because they have mood swings. Mm-hmm. But some people, depending on how they were raised and grown, they were taught to act out on their emotions. They never were taught to think before they do. Just like if somebody saying, if somebody comes and steps to me a certain way, I'm going to handle it that way. That's mm-hmm. acting out in emotion and what we were taught, how we handle it. So some stuff, depending on the mood swings, is kind of like our environment, our upbringing. And that's what kind of therapy actually helps with. It helps learn with any feelings and behavior, helps break certain habits and stuff like that. It helps people learn, like, them.
Right, to bring things together.
Okay, yeah. And another caller, you still there?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I just understand that a lot of these medications that they use are new. Mm-hmm. I don't personally know any someone that was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And they were on a medication called risperidone. After that medication, they developed gynecomastia, which is the man grew breasts.
Okay, that's one of the things being child development, where they have put these different kids on those special medications. It might have side effects, but we're going to get back to her. Let me ask you a quick question too. We're going to let the specialist answer some more questions. But during this time of the pandemic, can I ask you this question? Did you have any effect? Did all of this affect you in any kind of way?
Yes, it did.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit? Okay, so how did this affect you?
Mm-hmm. But I'm in a mixed environment. I've had my vaccination, but a lot of people around me have not and will not have their vaccination. I know a lot of generations a lot younger than myself, and they still don't believe it.
Okay.
Coming from 5G
Tower. Okay, well, let me say, okay, you're absolutely right. Let me cut you off right there. Let me ask you, I mean, because I want to keep you focused a little bit. Okay, I want to ask you, hearing everything that you have heard and even the passing away with everything in your everyday life, the quarantine, not being able to socialize, how have that affected you as an individual? That's what I'm asking you. Not about you getting the COVID shot.
And have to force myself to go out. And I'm like, am I dealing with mental things? No, I just didn't want to go out.
Okay, so it is.
I only go out now unless I have to.
You know, it is a social disorder as well. We were shut off from society. So everybody might have been suffering a little bit of social
anxiety
because, you know, and thank God, I'm going to say thank God for Facebook because it kept us connected to some of our loved ones that we couldn't even get to because of the pandemic. So, you know, we all have suffered, not just nobody that hadn't gotten the vaccine or people that did get the vaccine. People in general have suffered a little mental illness because of a little bit disorder.
Mental health.
Mental health. Well, let's say disorder, mental health.
Mental health.
Mental health.
Right. So long we're not able to go anywhere or do anything other than order online and have somebody deliver a package and leave it at your door and they run.
Well, okay, this is a new world order, so it's going to be a lot of things going to be, a digital. Everything is digital. So has that played a part in your life too? The new digital world that, you know, everything you do is going to be digital.
Purchase a lot of things online, but that I normally would not have bought.
I know you want to say something, but I'm going to say something right now.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I feel you. Look,
thank you for that.
Something else we got to take into consideration too.
Okay.
Right. How how we deal with our circumstances, I guess it's up to each one of us individually to find that outlet that helps you cope. That's when your coping skills kick in. Well, how do you deal with situations? But one thing I did want to say about the medication. When you're a kid and they put the kid on Ritalin, mm-hmm. and the parents start complaining, oh, my kid sleeps all day. That's because when they gave you the prescription, you thought that that was going to be the cure-all.
Right.
The prescription that they gave them was to, let's see how this medication worked. If you don't take them back to the hospital.
Right.
To get evaluated and reevaluated, mm-hmm. and fine-tuned to find out what's the proper dosage for them, you just keep shoveling the pills at them. Of course, he's going to have major side effects. Medication is there when necessary. Some people need medication. Some people just need somebody to talk to or have them to listen to them.
That's right.
You know, so it's not, medication is not for everybody. You know, but having someone like our guest today that knows the way that the brain works, that knows the mentality aspects of what is conceived to be normal or abnormal, that bridge right there is something that needs to be crossed and examined. So whether you want to say cross-examined or whatever, but I think we all need to at least periodically have someone that we can talk to, you know, even if we don't think there's nothing wrong, if, you know. So it's you know, I welcome our guest. Our guest has brought some insight to the show that really made me think. I'm like, okay, yeah, well, yeah, maybe I do need to sit down and have another session, because I've had several sessions where I spoke to mental therapists, you know, and, you know, whether they found something wrong or not, it was just the opportunity for me to say, okay, I went and talked to somebody, you know, And that made a world of difference, because sometimes you just need confirmation that there's nothing wrong with what you're going through, but know that, yes, you are going through something.
And that's just what it is. You're going through. You're going to come out.
Ms. Lyons, is there anything that you wanted to wrap the show up with today?
We want to thank you for being on the show, first of all.
She's been patient, too. She's been like, no, Al, you're wrong. It's two left shoes. You fat mother...
Oh, no. We want you to give us your information where they can get in touch with you.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you, everybody. And you're right, like, to look at therapy just wants you to look at it as an extra support system. So a support system in whatever you need, like transitioning with, anything or aspect in life you need help with, processing, is that. And just because someone comes to see a therapist doesn't mean you have a mental health disorder. We all have problems, and we just don't have the same problems. So a lot of stuff we go through is normal, but sometimes we have root the things that we need help with, because it creates behaviors if we don't deal with it. And sometimes we don't know how to deal with it on our own. So it's being able to look at it from an objective standpoint so we can continue to be the healthiest person that we can continue to be in life. And if anybody would like to get in contact with me, you can reach me at phoenixrisingcounselinggroup.com. You can ask to speak with me or another therapist there. It's predominantly an African-American practice, so we welcome you.
Okay, is it any cost for the therapist? I mean, would you lead them into the right direction if they don't have the medical funding for the help?
It is a cost. It is a fee that usually they take some type of insurance. So, like, when they call, somebody can help them out with that. Or they also have Christian community counseling centers as well. In various places in Chicago. I think they have one in Chicago, South Holland, Illinois. Like, if you really don't have the money, and they offer like a sliding scale as well or something like that based off your income, if you can't do the Phoenix Rising Counseling Group prices, you can go to Christian Community Counseling Center. They have various places in Chicago as well.
So okay. So I'm sorry. Mm. So you can call pretty much your local hospital, and they might have a crisis center available that they can also refer you to.
It's different.
Okay. That's, well, repeat your number to the audience so they can get back and they can get in touch with you. And then Al, I want to ask you a question.
It's phoenixrisingcounselinggroup.com.
Okay.
Okay, Al, what type of help you think you need?
Shit, I need so much help. I'm gonna tell you what I struggle with.
Okay.
I struggle with trying to be a better person every day than I was the day before.
Okay.
And that's, believe it or not, that's a struggle, because you have to reflect back on what you did the day before and say, how can I improve myself from yesterday? And sometimes you can be too judgmental of yourself, and that can be damaging. You know, you're judging yourself by a ruler that you set yourself by standards. And sometimes your standards might not be realistic.
Right.
You know, you set unrealistic goals.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, you guys, there you have it. And I've got, you all know, this is part of my therapy. It's what we do every Sunday.
Drink.
So I want to, no, I don't, this is grape juice. You know what, you guys, he think I be drinking drink. But I do drink a drink, because when I want to drink a drink. But this right here is some grape juice. Taste it, Al.
No.
You can have some, Al.
No.
I insist, Al.
No.
You got it, Al.
No.
Okay, I'll just take it. Thank you. See, look, watch this. And it's not juice. It's not the wine, you guys. This is the one they give.
Let's see you kill it then.
I'll kill it.
Uh-oh. Go.
It's sweet as heck, though.
She didn't kill it.
Because it's not.
Because she can't drink too much wine.
This is grape 100% Welch's grape juice. Welch's juice. That would get drunk off of it. Welch's grape juice. But anyway, you guys.
It's Welch's.
Anyway, you guys, we want to thank our guests for being on the show. And we're going to have some special people that's going to be coming on the show. And we're getting it all together. And we just want to say thank you for tuning in. And we see you guys later. Oh, you can see me through the glass.
What's up, y'all? Once again, y'all, we want to give it up to our sponsor, Smitty's. At 15101 Halsted. Go there, check them out. The drinks is wonderful, I'm sure. I don't drink, but I've seen a lot of people come out of Smitty smiling. So,
well, they got those non-alcohol drinks like
yeah,
I drink.
Yeah, they a Shirley Temple or something like that, right? But yeah, go check out Smitty's, y'all. Teeny Tiny Mama, she's got her event the 22nd of this month. From 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock, the address is 2044 163rd Street behind the old Adriana's. So make sure you come out and support her. She's got vendors, spaces. Missy has the contact information, so she'll most likely post it on her Facebook.
It's already posted. The tickets are $2.
Bam. $2 tickets. It's like old school, y'all. Remember
they're
going to
have the DJs outside. We're going to be outside, you guys. So bring your lawn chair. Come out and support. Social distance.
Party in pieces. No guns. No guns. Please don't.
No guns.
Even
though
we know you got a concealed carry, we asking everybody to just leave the guns at home. And because, you know, anything can happen when you're drinking. Anything can happen. So please, guns at home. This is a PIP production, you know, Party in Peace. So, you know, it's no violence. If it's going to be no violence, you don't need any guns. You know, and if you do just have to bring your gun with you, just leave it in your car. Locked up somewhere.
You know, somebody going to be, I'm joking.
Leave your gun. Everybody leave your guns. I'm going to have my gun, so you're not going to need one.
It's going to be dancing, comedian, and just come out and have a great time. And we'll see you guys later. We're signing out.
Before we get out of here, one more thing, too. In the near future, we're going to have comedian Reginald Hughes on the show. We're going to have
singer,
guitar extraordinaire Chuck Luck. Yeah, yeah. So we're looking forward to that. That man's got skills, talents, and he's got a well diverse, just he's got a whole library of people that he's dealt with, as far as in the industry. So
entertainment,
we got a rapper Noon coming on. What's up to my man Farilla G? What's up to my man Triple B? What's up to my man Derek Lackey, Demetrius Cuts, and everybody? Ronnie, Betrayed Innocence, what's happening? So many, I can go on forever. We ain't got that much time. This your man signing out, Al Zero.
You guys, everybody on my Facebook page, you want to thank you guys for tuning in.
Rap Lord. Peace.